Well, to get back to your own experiences in both these issues, you know, your wife is a genetic counselor, so she does have, at least in the clinical aspects of biomedical research, she's very involved. And how much did, you know, the issue of both being a woman, because you've talked off tape about how some of the projects that she's been involved in has been because she's black.
Right.
There's this blanket assumption that she can speak for all black experiences.
Right.
How much did race and gender play in this decision to work part-time, stay at home part-time with the children?
Race, I think not at all. Gender, it was absolutely clear from the beginning that Chantal wanted to nurse the kids.
Okay.
And she has the breasts, so.
Yeah,
this
right.
is why automatically it was clear that she will have more responsibilities in the first 2 years. And look, we have the luxury that Chantal does not have to work full time. And at least, I think she's totally content with that. And I think she found a good balance. It may change the moment both kids are in school, but yeah.
And are you content with it?
Sure. I'm sometimes, sometimes it gets stressful. The 2 days Chantal works are stressful days. And, I'm absolutely for her doing it. And we simply have to do it together, you know. So.
And so when it comes down to, beside, while your children are past breastfeeding, I'm assuming.
Right.
How now does it divide in terms of household responsibilities? You have a house and a yard.
Right.
Besides child raising, how does that split?
Okay. Now, how do we split it? I'm responsible for the outside.
Okay.
Now you think it's traditional.
Okay.
No, it's not. Because I'm the better cook. So I'm responsible for cooking during weekends. During a short... And I'm responsible for breakfast. For... Chantal is responsible for buying stuff during the week and taking care of that we have stuff around during the week and that the kids are fed. And cleaning-wise, it's 60-40. I'm responsible for the floors and she's responsible for the bathrooms and the kitchen we share. So... sure, Chantal does more in the house because she is normally 5 days at home and I'm 3 days at home. Yeah.
Well, how much does your daily activities and your conversations at the dinner table or at the playground revolve around science or medicine, genetic counseling, whatever?
Oh, it is totally variable. What's happening is that I think we over-proportionally are talking about Chantal's problems with patients.
Okay.
Because, yeah. And it has to do with that Chantal likes to talk more than I do. It does not seem in this interview. But it may be also a male-female thing, you know. I'm not sure about that. Chantal, in her cancer genetic counseling of minority people here in New York City, she really has exciting stories to tell. And we often have a lot of, interesting stuff to talk about. Now, does Chantal understand what I do? I think she has a little bit of an overview, but in detail she does not know it. And, And sometimes she complains that I do not share it enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how do you think your children receive these discussions? You know, how do they receive science? As a job, or do they receive it as something fun to do?
Oh, science is fun. Absolutely, absolutely. And look, for Hannes, the lab is one of the greatest places to be. And but look, we have way more to talk about than the lab.
And what do you think are, how would you describe your mentoring abilities? We're going to shift here again. Your mentoring abilities in the lab.
Tough. What I mean, it's a tough question. And the reason for it is I really enjoy it of talking science with interested people. And it absolutely does not matter the background of the people, but they should be interested in it. I'm not a good, sometimes with technical personnel, I have difficulties teaching them. What's happening is that I lose patience. And sometimes what drives me nuts is when people cannot divide, when they cannot calculate concentrations. And I think sometimes it comes over that I can be impatient. And mostly with stuff I do not understand. Look, I cannot, for example, understand how you can, if you calculate a concentration, how the numbers can be right, but it's 1,000 times off. It's always the tens that people cannot deal with. It drives me crazy because, look, you can see it. I understand that they have difficulties, but my gut does not understand it because it's so obvious. And so teaching abilities, for some, I think sometimes I'm very good and sometimes I'm impatient too, And then for sure I'm not a good guy then.
Yeah. Okay. And do you have tenure here at Cornell?
Yes.
Okay.
No, whether I have tenure?
Yeah.
Not yet. The way it is, the tenure decision will be next year, and
How does it look?
Good.
And what will it mean? What does tenure mean here at Cornell?
Tenure at Cornell means that for the rest of your life, the salary, a basic salary is guaranteed, and some space is guaranteed. However, that's it. Yeah.
So your grant writing days won't be over?
Oh, definitely not. Right.
And how do you think having an MD attached to your PhD has affected the kind of opportunities you had to do the science, to do what you...
You know?
Where you were going to do your science.
Where I would do it, not.
Yeah.
The thing is, if you would ask me, how do you feel today? I, as a basic biological scientist and totally independent of an MD or a PhD, and would now the question, would I recommend somebody to go for an MD PhD? Absolutely. And the reason for it is that it is really the broadest education possible in the MD PhD. So yeah. However, you can be, yeah. Would I have gone for a PhD in Germany at that time? No. Look, that I'm here is an event of chances. Yeah. If I would be with my knowledge today, if I would be 20, what would I do? I do not know.
Okay. Well, finally, for my questions, how has the Pew application, or the Pew funding, how is getting the Pew grant affected the kinds of questions, your research, the kinds of questions you ask at the bench, as well as the directions your career has taken?
You know what the most important thing with Pew was that it strengthened my self-confidence. And I when I got Pew, Pew was the first application which I got. So my first NIH application was rejected. My first ACS application was rejected. Pew went through. It was so great at the first meeting, sitting with one of the advisors and telling me, you will have no difficulties getting funded. It's not possible that. And look, stuff like that helped. And really, look, this is perhaps one of the major experiences of my life is the following. When I was a small kid, I saw these big boys, and I was, wow. And then when I was at this age, okay, fine. Then it were these people going to the gymnasium. These were the wow guys. And this went on, you know, then it were the scientists in America. They were wow. Yeah, and look, I could do it. And this went on. And now, look, Pew was a similar thing. Essentially, I met there people who are really good, and I'm as good, no doubt. So I think that was the major experience, and meeting good people. And ideas. Look, what I really enjoyed with the Pew meetings and enjoy is that it's a diverse group of people with different backgrounds, but really most of them have something to say. Yeah, and I like that. Yeah. And I think this was way more important for me than the money. Look, my lab would have survived with or without that money. However, it really, Pew was good. Pew was very, very good. Okay.
Okay. Well, at this point, I'll turn it over to you and ask you, what would you like to add to the record that we haven't already discussed?
What didn't we discuss? No, I do not know anything in the moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. This has been a great pleasure, and thank you for the opportunity.
Sure.
Okay.